I want you to get your Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter number 23. Jeremiah chapter number 23, please. Jeremiah chapter number 23. Once you find Jeremiah 23, find verse number 33. Jeremiah 23:33, and then stand with me, if you will, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse number 33, and I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this, "And when this people, or the prophet, or a priest, shall ask thee, saying, What is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt then say unto them, What burden? I will even forsake you, saith the Lord. And as for the prophet and the priest and the people that shall say, The burden of the Lord, I will even punish that man and his house. Thus shall ye say, every one to his neighbor and every one to his brother, What hath the Lord answered, and what hath the Lord spoken?" And verse 36 is going to help us get started today. It says this, "And the burden of the Lord, what shall ye mention no more? For every man's word shall be his burden. For ye have perverted the words of the living God, of the Lord of hosts, our God." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. I pray that you'll give me the attention of the people, and might we be stronger because we were in church today. And God, there's a lot of confusion out there. Help us to clear a little of it up today in regard to the purity of the King James Bible. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. Today we're going to talk about the purity of the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. And here at our church, we use the King James Bible. And it's the only one we use. It's the only one we approve of. We don't support organizations that do anything other than that. And that's how it is. I have here the Bible that was given to me when I was ordained many, many years ago. When I was ordained, that Bible was given to me by my pastor. It's a King James Bible. I have here, my father is the pastor of a church in Kentucky. And my dad, many years ago, gave me a copy of his Bible. And I've got a Bible here with my dad's notes in it. And you can see his is all beat up and mine looks just like new. It shows you my dad's a pretty good Christian and I'm a pretty weak Christian. But I got dad's Bible and all beat up. You know what? It's a King James Bible as well. Now, I've been preaching for a long time. Almost 37,000 sermons. Started preaching when I was a 16-year-old boy. I hold today in my hand the Bible that I'll used to preach from. It's a King James Bible. I don't have any desire to have anything else. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 23, verse 36, it says, "For ye have perverted the words of the living God of hosts." Boy, what a dangerous thing to pervert the words of God. You say, "Well, preacher, why are there so many versions of the Bible?" I can clear that up for you real quickly. It creates confusion. And God said he's not the author of confusion. So who's the author of confusion? Well, it's the devil. And the devil wants people confused. You know, we're going to talk about what is called the NIV, the New International Version. I call it a perversion. They have perverted many, many words in that so-called Bible. I have to tell you this. You know what we call it? We call this book the Holy Bible. The Holy Bible. Did you know that in the NIV, the New International Version, and I can give you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I could give you 10 verses where they took the word holy out of those verses. I guess they just don't have a holy Bible like we do. Why in the world would they need to take the word holy out? This is holy word of God. Not just word, not word of man, but 9 or 10 times in the NIV, they actually took the word holy out. They took the word holy out. It said holy men, said holy angels, holy brethren, holy prophets, holy apostles. And then 6 times, the Holy Spirit. Now, you can call it whatever you want, but if God said it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. And man has no right to minimize that which God has maximized. So, we call ours a Holy Bible. They're just going to have to call theirs Bible. Bible. It's not even credible as that. To the simple but sincere, just hear me out today. In 1997, the New International Bible Society and Zondervan Publishers announced their plan to update the NIV. So they were going to improve on what they had improved on, in their opinion. And they decided they were going to produce a gender-accurate book. They stated that any verses that spoke of man or mankind would be changed to say people or persons. So they think they're improving on God. If God said man or mankind, they were going to make it people or persons because they wanted a gender-appropriate Bible. Man cannot improve on what God did. And this is what they're calling their improvement Bible. It's the Today New International Version. So it was the TNIV. It was published by, I believe, some feminists and probably people that were supporters of sodomy. Listen, you say, well, why do you say that? Well, the NIV originally was published by Zondervan, and it was sold to HarperCollins Printers, who also print the Satanic Bible, and they also print a book called The Joy of Gay Sex. Sounds to me like somebody's in this for the money.
Yeah,
sounds to me like it's a business instead of a ministry. Wow, that's kind of rough. Can you imagine? You can go to their warehouse and they've got what they call their Bible right by the Satanic Bible, and right beside that, they've got a book about gay sex. And they produce it all. Now, some of the big confusers in our world. You've got the NIV, which stands for New International Version. You've got the NWT, which is the New World Translation. You've got the NASV, that's the New American Standard Version. You've got the New King James Version, which is as bad as the rest of them. They call that the NKJV. And then you've got the Living Bible, which ought to be called the Dead Bible. You say, oh, Pastor, you're offending me. I'd leave now. We're only just getting started. I will stand without apology for the purity of the King James Bible. It's very, very important. Listen, Jesus said this. He said in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God said we're to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means this, there has to be every word somewhere, or God has shortchanged us. He commanded us to do something that we could not do, and that makes God an unjust God or an unfair God. And God is just, and God is fair. That means God preserved for you and I a word of God by which we could live. Listen, he promises this. In Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forward. Notice, he promised to give us the words. He said, I purified them, and I'll give you those words. Then he promised, from that generation forward. Someone says, well, it's only in the original manuscripts. God promised that he would make every generation, make available to them a pure word of God. That's God's promise. Now, I believe that is the 1611 Bible. It's the Every Word Bible. That's the King James Bible. It's preserved. I believe that it is inspired by Almighty God. The other perversions, see, NIV is one of the biggest perversions out there. They call it the NIV. I call it the NIP. I call it that because it's the New International Perversion, not the New International Version. Webster's Dictionary defines pervert. It is to cause something to turn aside from good or totally true, or to twist something's meaning and end up misinterpreting it. And that's exactly what they've done. Remember, Jeremiah 23:36 tells us that perversions will come. People pervert the Word of God. Listen, We could call it the NIV, the non-inspired version, if you want to. But it's very clear in the Bible that someone can pervert the Word of God. Now, I believe there are some sincere people that get caught up in the perversions. They didn't know. They weren't clinging to those Bibles that are wrong rebelliously. They just didn't know the difference. Today, if you'll let me, I'm going to show you some things. You won't have time to turn to every verse that I refer to, because I'm going to refer to a lot of verses. I'm going to refer to them very, very quickly. But I want you to learn something about this perversion of the Word of God. I don't consider the King James Bible a version. I call it the King James Bible. All the others are versions, better said, perversions. But the King James Bible, that's the real deal. It's the real McCoy. We don't need to rewrite it. We just need to relive it. We need to revisit it, but we don't need to rewrite it. You say, well, preacher, in what ways does the NIV pervert the Word of God? Get this. They remove 64,575 words to write the NIV. How could anyone be so arrogant to say, God, you made 64,575 mistakes and let us take care of this? Boy, that's arrogance and that's pride. Now, stay with me. I'm going to make some super practical observations. The NIV perverts the virgin birth. The King James Bible in Luke 2, verse 33, it says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." That's the right Bible. Now, the NIV says this. This is the verse. "The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him." The child's father? Was Joseph the father of Jesus? No. God was the father of Jesus. That is enough to anger any real Christian. Who do they think they are to take the fatherhead of God away from Jesus Christ and replace it with Joseph? But they took it out and rewrote it and said, "You're confusing people." Well, you're not. You have perverted the Word of God. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost, not by Joseph. The devil has always fought the virgin birth. Do you understand? If he was not born of a virgin, if he was not God's son, then he's not a savior, and he's not Jesus Christ. And this whole Christianity thing's a mess. But he was born of God. Joseph was not his dad. And anybody that fiddles with the virgin birth, rewriting a Bible, is accursed by Almighty God. That's a major perversion of one of the most important doctrines in the whole Bible. How would you like it if someone came along and said, "That's not, the dad is somebody other than you"? You dads, you'd say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Don't pull that junk on me." Hey, Jesus was God's son, not Joseph's. And the writers of the NIV blew it. Number two. The NIV dares to remove the blood of Jesus Christ from its pages. Takes the blood of Jesus Christ out. The King James Bible says in Colossians 1:14, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Very clear. The NIV perversion says, "In whom we have redemption for forgiveness of sins." It took out the words "through His blood." Folks, there is only redemption through His blood. They took it out. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:22, "Without the shedding of blood is no remission." Hey, listen. It is wicked to take reference to the blood of Jesus Christ out of the book that God wrote about His Son. Now, they've not only tampered with the God being the Father and the virgin birth, now they have tampered with the blood that Jesus Christ shed. You're talking about some major tampering. You're talking about some major mess-ups. Listen, I'm going to keep on singing, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" No matter what the NIV tries to pervert. It's still the blood. We are saved by the blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and it doesn't matter what the NIV says. It matters what the Bible says. When, hey, the blood will never lose its power. Hey, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When they removed the blood from Colossians 1:14, they might as well slap Jesus Christ in the face and say, "It's not your blood and you're not God's son." Boy, that's arrogance. And it's just a business. They're just wanting to make money. Thirdly, the NIV perverts the deity of Jesus Christ. So you understand that word deity means that Jesus was God come in the flesh. Jesus was God come in the flesh. The King James Bible in 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." So notice those words, God was manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ. Now the NIV says he appeared in a body instead of God was manifest in the flesh. He appeared in a body. We all appeared in a body. It perverts the word. It takes the word God out and it makes it say he appeared. The Bible, the King James Bible makes it very clear. That's God come in the flesh. Anybody who ever lived appeared in a body. And it wasn't just a he. The Bible clearly states in 1 Timothy 3:16, God came, not just a he. You see, the deity is being challenged here. You understand thus far? We've said the NIV perverted the virgin birth. The NIV perverted the blood of Christ. The NIV is perverting the deity of Jesus Christ. Listen, another verse about the deity. In the King James Bible, Philippians 2:6 says, "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God." See, it's making it very clear. Jesus was God. The NIV said that same verse this way, "Who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped." It does not back the deity of Christ. And that you say, "Well, we said that we want to clear it up and make it easy to understand." They're whacked out. That's not easy to understand. Made it very clear in Philippians 2:6, the King James Bible said he's God. And didn't even think it was robbery to come and say he was God because it was true. That's what it was teaching. See, when Jesus is not allowed to be God, that's a perversion. That's why the NIV, it's not a version, it's a perversion. Let me show you another one. Number four. Somebody tell me, what do you think one of the most famous verses is in the whole Bible? John 3:16. Good, good. Let's see if they've tampered with that. Let's see if that needs improved according to the people that produce and promote the NIV. All right. This verse is probably the most memorized and most used verse in the entire world. Some would say maybe one of the most important verses in the whole Bible. They're all important. But the devil dared to pervert the great John 3:16. Listen to John 3:16 from the King James Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Now the NIV, the perversion says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." There's only one problem. Jesus is not the one and only Son. He's not. You know, the Bible, in the King James Bible, in Luke 3:38, calls Adam a son of God. In Job chapter 1, verse number 16, it says there are sons of God, and Christians are called sons of God in Philippians 2:15 and 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. He was not an only son of God. He was the only begotten Son of God. In other words, he was born of God. Takes you back to the fact that Joseph was not his dad. He was, hey, that which was in Mary's womb was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God. Hey, there's not just one Son of God. When I got saved, I became a son of God. The NIV takes the word begotten out in John 1:14, John 3:16, John 1:18, and John 3:18. That makes me mad. You say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't get mad. Then it makes me righteously indignant. Do you know that the NIV has perverted the subject of hell? They've perverted it. In the King James Bible regarding hell, in Psalm chapter 9, verse number 16, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The NIV, the word hell, is not even mentioned in that verse. They've taken the word hell out completely. The word hell occurs 31 times in the King James Bible in the Old Testament. In the NIV, the word hell is not found at all in the Old Testament. Let me explain something. If you read the NIV and you're not convinced there's a hell because of the Old Testament, there's still a hell and you'll still go to it. And the blood of those people will be on the hands of the people that perverted the Word of God and took hell out of it. See, there's a movement in our world. They're trying to make, you know, everything socially acceptable. So they don't like hell and they want to eliminate it. Hell's still real. They don't like truth and they want to eliminate it. There's so many things they're trying to change. They should not be tampering with the Word of God. In the King James Bible, that verse again, Psalm 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God." The NIV says, "The wicked return to the grave." Folks, we all go to the grave. They are teaching there is no hell. In the New Testament, the NIV removes the word hell 9 times. Now, what's so hard about understanding the word hell? They say we're gonna make it so it's more understandable. Now look, if there's a place called hell and it's full of fire and brimstone, it might be smart that you tell somebody the truth about it. So thus far, we found out that the NIV perverts the virgin birth. We found out that the NIV perverts the blood of Jesus Christ. We found out that the NIV perverts the deity of Jesus. We found out that the NIV dared to pervert the John 3:16, most famous verse in history. We found out that the NIV perverts the teaching on hell. Do you know that the NIV perverts God's Word by removing 45 verses completely? Now, earlier I told you this. I told you that they had removed, let's see, where's my number at? Lots of words. I'll come back to it and find it in a little while. Now I'm not just talking about the words that they've taken out. Now we're talking about they took the verse out completely. Who do they think they are? So smart they can just remove 45 verses from God's Word? You know what they probably thought, Brother Jim? They probably thought, well, these verses are not important. So what I thought is maybe I ought to look at what's not important. Just in case, I'd like to know what's not important. Okay, so I'm going to just give you a few of them. In a moment, I'm going to read some of them to you. They took out Matthew 17:21, Matthew 18:11, Matthew 23:14, Mark 7:16, Mark 9:44, Mark 9:46, Mark 11:26, Mark 15:28, Luke 17:36, Luke 23:17, John 5:4, Acts 15:34, Acts 24:7, Acts 28:9, Romans 16:24, 1 John 5:7, and dozens of others. They just said, we're taking those out. Okay? Let's see if they're of any importance at all. Matthew 17:21, they took it out. It says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." If you're a Christian, that verse is a motivational verse. I don't think I would have taken that one out. Okay, Matthew 18:11, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost." And why would they need to take that out? How can you improve on that? It doesn't get any simpler, and it doesn't get any more important. Listen to Matthew 23, verse 14. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater condemnation. Listen to Mark 7, 16. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. They're taking these verses out. Mark 9, 44, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. They took out Mark 9, 46, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. They took out Mark 11, 26, where it says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Why wouldn't they want people to forgive? Why would they dare take that out? What's so hard about that to understand? They just thought they could improve on God. Mark 15, 28 says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. They took out Luke 17, 36 where it says, two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And I could go on and on describing the verses that they have taken out. Hey, listen, it's a perversion. It's a perversion. They actually had the audacity to take 45 verses out of the Bible completely. So, again, thus far, this is what we've learned about the New International Perversion. It perverts the virgin birth, major doctrine. It perverts the blood of Christ, major doctrine. It perverts the deity of Christ, major doctrine. It perverts John 3:16, majorly important verse. It perverts hell, major doctrine. It takes 45 verses out completely, all of which are associated with major doctrines. You know, God's words are important, and He wanted them left alone. I'll read to you from Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Wow. If they're pure, how could anyone think they need to omit 64,575 of them? I found the number. If God looked at you and said, I'm going to give you a great big box of pure pieces of, well, just pure words, would you go through and take 64,575 of them and throw them away? That's what they did. They eliminated them. Listen to this. They removed the word Christ 44 times. That's not good business. The whole book's all about who? Christ. They removed the word Lord 35 times. They removed the word Jesus 36 times. I have a whole sermon where I throw a fit for about an hour straight. It's called, They Took His Name Out. They took His name out. What right do they have to take God's name out of God's book? They perverted it. They removed the name God 31 times. So stupid. They took the word Godhead out 3 times. They removed the word hell 40 times. They took the words devil or demons out 80 times. They removed heaven 160 times. They removed the word damned 15 times. The word blood 41 times. Salvation 42 times. They took these words, the word of God. They removed it 8 times. They might as well have taken them all out. Matter of fact, we'd be better off had they eliminated their whole process. I think we ought to get on the bandwagon and vote for them to go ahead and eliminate all the words and turn it into a wordless book, because we've got the real one in the King James Bible. We don't need their mess. The words, the word of the Lord, they removed 24 times. The love of Jesus Christ was removed 24 times. They totally removed the word Godhead. They totally removed the word regeneration. They totally removed the words mercy seat. They totally removed the word Calvary. They totally removed the word remission. They totally removed the word Jehovah. They removed omnipotent, comforter, Holy Ghost, quickened, and saint. People ask me, why do you make such a big deal about this? Isn't it a big deal to you? Hey, get this. Number 8, the NIV perverts heaven. What a doctrine, heaven. Why did they have to tamper with that one too? The King James Bible in John 14:2 says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. The NIP says this, in my Father's house are many rooms. There's a big difference in a room and a mansion. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, Dr. Bobby Robertson, one of the great preachers of this generation, he died a week or so ago. He went to heaven. You know what he got when he got there? A mansion. A mansion. Billy Graham, and he and I wouldn't agreed on everything, but I believe Billy Graham was right on salvation. When he got to heaven, they didn't give him a room. They gave him a mansion. Hey, Anthony, Betty got her a mansion. David, your mama got a mansion. All of you, your loved ones that passed away, I hope they didn't glance at the NIV and get shortchanged in their faith thinking they were moving into a room. They got a mansion. And if I knew who to take and shake, I'd say, what were you thinking when you mess with God's Word? You can't improve on what God's done. You can't write a better book. Number 9, and don't worry, it'll be over soon. So what in the world is God's angle on all this perversion and messing with His writings? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. That's not hard to understand. God said, don't touch it. Don't touch that. Don't mess with that. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 says this, And thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Oh, I'm sorry. It says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. I think that verse says people that add to the Word of God are called liars. You say, now don't go away saying, Brother Owens called him a liar, although I do. God said they're liars. They're liars. They're liars. Listen to Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Jesus makes it very, very clear. Do you know what the Bible warns us about? The King James Bible in Luke 8:12 mentions this in regard to the seed of the Word of God. It says, then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word. Can I tell you why you have all the perversions? Because if they can take Jesus, if they take the Word of God out of this world, the devil gets more of a stronghold. Our country was better off when you didn't have all the perversions. She was stronger. She was more powerful. Again, we don't need to rewrite it. We just need to reread it. The Word of God, how important it is. And the Bible teaches us this book's pure. The Bible teaches us that this work is preserved. The Bible teaches us it's inspired. You say, what's inspired means that God breathed. God breathed. And one of the great strongholds in the whole teaching is that God had promised that every generation would have this pure Word of God so that we could live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, you say, Pastor, this is all new to me. If my delivery's a little gruff for you, I apologize about that gruffness. But let me tell you, I'm merely defending the purity of the Word of God. And I don't know how patient you would be if someone came along and changed everything that you wrote, and you're not even pure. God's pure. God's Word is pure. God's Word is holy. I go back to this thought. In the NIV, 2 Peter 1:21, the King James Bible uses the word holy men. The NIV just says men. In the King James Bible, Matthew 25:31 says holy angels. The NIV says angels. The King James Bible in 1 Thessalonians 5:27, it says holy brethren. The NIV says just brethren. Revelation 22:6 in the King James Bible says holy prophets. The NIV says prophets. Revelation 18:20 in the King James Bible says holy apostles and prophets. The NIV just says apostles and prophets. In John 7:39, 1 Corinthians 2:13, Matthew 12:31, Acts 6:3, Acts 8:18, they use the in the King James Bible, they all use the word Holy Ghost. And in the NIV, they say Spirit. Just Spirit, no holy. They call that right. Theirs is not holy. God's Word is holy. It's a big deal because it's the Word of God that'll get you saved. I realize that I have taken a course of doctrinal instruction today. But let me explain something. This is a big deal because people get saved by the Word of God. And we want people to have the pure Word of God so they can get born again. If you're here today and you're not sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Let me welcome you to a Savior. We will take the pure Word of God and help you to know what it says about going to heaven. And if you by chance have an NIV, you say, I noticed hell wasn't in there. What's in? It's in the right Bible. So I noticed heaven was diluted. Heaven's a real place. It's a place of mansions. So I see that they don't talk about the blood a whole lot. The blood of Jesus Christ is what will save you. Let's not let the devil steal from us the most important thing God gave us, His Word. His Word is His Son. His Son is His Word. Nobody should tamper with the purity of Jesus Christ. I call the sermon the NIV perversion. And remember, it's not the King James Version, really. It's the King James Bible. And mine says right here on the front, still says, Holy. Holy Bible. We have the Holy Bible. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. My sermon has been directed to the saved. If you're here today, though, and you're not saved, if you're here today and you're not sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven. We welcome you to the Savior. If you need to be born again, we're going to give you an opportunity. Is there anybody under the sound of my voice that would say, Pastor, I'm not born again. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. I'm not born again. Would you raise your hand and say, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Okay. Let me ask this. Today, has God, maybe He strengthened your faith. Maybe you say, Pastor, I believe, that's how I believe. But this has been good for me. I'm glad to be strong and know all of these facts because they sure help me to take my stand in regard to the Word of God. And God has spoken to my heart today in this sermon. And let God see your hand. You say, God spoke to me. I learned something. I was challenged. I was encouraged. And you may put those hands down. Listen, if you've not been saved, we'll have an altar call. You come. If you're saved and you just want to thank God for something or you need to pray, you come to the altar. Hey, if you've been saved and never made it public, you come. If you've been saved and baptized and you'd like to join the membership of our church, you come. We'll help you to do so. I'm going to pray in a second. We're going to have the instrumentalists begin to play. Father, I pray that you will take the sermon today, and though it is it's a positional sermon, it's a doctrinal sermon, help the people to know the Word of God. That's where our ultimate loyalty is to lie. And we're not trying to hurt anybody, but we're trying to help everybody with the purity of the Word of God. But most of all, God, we want to uplift Jesus. We want to be loyal to you ultimately. Bless the altar call, please. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to be saved, you come and you can be born again. Purity of the Word of God. It's preserved. It's perfect. It's inspired. And I believe that describes the pure Word of God for this generation. In the English-speaking world, it's the King James Bible. If you're not saved, you come. The men will meet you, will help you to get born again. If you're saved, but you need to get something straightened out with the Lord, you come. People that print the NIV would take on business and print the Satanic Bible. But I'm not shocked that they even take on the promotion of the Sodomite lifestyle, which is as wicked as the devil. One more time through the song, if you will, Rachel.